Do you remember the picture of my son? It won a Pulitzer Prize. The picture of him lying dead on the sidewalk at Columbine High School. His name is Daniel. My name is Brian Rohrbaugh. Did you know that the roots of the Columbine murder started back in 1967 when our Colorado lawmakers passed a law that allowed a baby to be put to death because her father was a criminal? In one evil law, they changed our country from a culture of life to a culture of death. Since that day, 50 million babies in this country have been killed through abortion. Will you stand with me? Will you stand in the place of just one of these victims? Join me as Colorado Right to Life presents the annual March for Life at the State Capitol, Saturday, January 21st at 1:30 p.m. I will share with you a story that few know. Join me, because abortion is always wrong.
Warning is truth overhead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Kenyard-Light.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Kenyard, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And that commercial that you just heard, we made a commitment to play that every day from the day it was produced until the March for Life this Saturday, and that is the Colorado Right to Life March. And Leslie Hanks, who's VP of Colorado Right to Life, and Brian Rohrbaugh, who's the speaker for the march, are here in studio. Welcome to both of you guys.
Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
You're very welcome. It's so good to have you here. And I'd like us to talk through that commercial. And maybe we could start with the very last thing you said, Brian. Abortion is always wrong. But first, Leslie, give me the details. When is the March for Life?
Saturday, January 21st, 1:30 p.m. on the west steps of the state capitol, which is at Broadway and Colfax, downtown Denver.
Okay. So the Capitol building with the gold dome.
Yep.
And that's where we're going to be, on the west steps. And Brian is the speaker.
He is. We are so blessed.
Yeah, I'm as excited as could be to go to the event because, Brian, I heard you speak at OSA, Operation Save America, this summer, and that was so powerful, so exciting to hear the force of the message. And there was about 300 people there, and they were mostly devastated by the powerful message. Brian, you ended up saying abortion is always wrong.
Right. There's no justification for killing an innocent baby. Convenience is not a justification. Having a difficult life is not a justification. Being raped is not a justification. And in fact, that's what the 1967 law was supposed to be about, was if a woman was raped or a victim of incest, then her baby could be killed. But if we think through that, that is an incredibly evil law. It allows the murder of a child because her father is a criminal. And that's not the way to handle it. I mean, look at our whole society if a woman's raped. You know, her reputation, her background, she is utterly destroyed and victimized a second time in a courtroom. If she's pregnant, the state and everyone in society as a general will recommend she have the baby killed, and then, of course, the state will pay for it with our tax dollars. That's wrong. And then what do we do with the criminal? Well, we love and understand him. We house him, medicate him, give him color TV, probably high definition by now. And then after a few years, we let him out to do it again. Now, what a just society should do is love the woman and help her through this, knowing that killing the baby won't undo the crime. And if she's pregnant, we should help her with the pregnancy, and if she wants to adopt that baby because she doesn't want to keep it, that's great. And there are many families like mine who have adopted that would be so blessed to have that precious child. And what do we do with the criminal? We swiftly execute him. And guess what? No matter what you think about the death penalty, he won't repeat the crime. And further, that's what God told us to do.
So that what we have is liberalism in America advocates killing the baby and protecting the rapist, whereas God, the morality that we see revealed in the Bible would have us kill the rapist. For example, a kidnapper is one of the crimes that you should be executed for in Scripture, and a rapist certainly qualifies under kidnapping and other crimes. But kill the rapist and love the baby. Kill the rapist, love the baby. Liberals will have us kill the baby and protect the rapist.
Right. And that started right here with a law in 1967. And what is the cost? Well, 50 million babies have been slaughtered because of this law. But what about the secondary cost? What's happened in society? Look at the despair and the depression among young people. Look at the teenage suicide rate, which in many cases is directly connected to having an abortion.
Oh, yeah. And because they have kids have sex so commonly. I mean, national news stories just in the last few months show how prevalent it is for children, even in middle school kids to have sex.
Well, the school promotes that.
Yeah,
they promote it. They recommend it. They tell you how to hide it from your parents.
Yeah,
they
don't
help you get an abortion.
They will not tell kids that it's wrong to have sex before marriage, because that's a statement of absolute morality. And they're opposed to that because we've evolved. Our school curriculums, the public schools believe that we've evolved from animals, and therefore we pretty much kids get this animalistic worldview. And hey, we're animals, so you could behave like animals. If you want to have sex, you don't have to be married. Have sex. Just make sure you're ready.
Right.
They tell kids. Oh, and then kids decide, well, I think I'm ready.
Well, and then we look at what's happened with other Colorado laws and the hypocrisy in them. For example, the legislators raised the drinking age from 18 to 21 because your 18-year-old daughter might not be able to make an intelligent decision about how many drinks to have, and there's a very, very slim chance that she might get into a car accident and kill herself or someone else. Mm-hmm. So they raised the drinking age. Now, I'm not opposed to that, but at age 13, she can have an abortion, a decision she will live with for the rest of her life and every single time a death occurs. But they don't worry about that.
Yeah, that's a good point, because there's a bias in favor of sexual immorality, in favor of killing the innocent. And that's the struggle that we're in. You go back to 1967, Colorado, Leslie Hanks, is Brian, does he have it accurate?
Colorado. He does. First law in the nation, carried by Dick Lamb, who went on to be known as Duty to Die Dick Lamb. Mm-hmm. We opened the Pandora's box of the shedding of innocent blood. And so, as I have advocated for years, because we started the whole murderous tendency trend, we have a moral obligation and duty and responsibility to lead the country back to the legal protection of all life from fertilization through natural death.
And, you know, you're right. Every state, every person has the obligation to fight that battle. But we have the additional obligation because that spigot of innocent blood got opened right here in Denver in our state house. And so we've got to fight this. And when Brian said abortion is always wrong, it seems to me that as you follow pro-life leaders and ministries around the country, you find all kind of compromise on abortion commonly. And that's why I'm so thankful that there's many, sadly not all, but many in Colorado who are fighting to not compromise on Do Not Murder and to maintain that abortion is always wrong, and you don't regulate abortion thinking that's going to help you win the battle.
I couldn't agree more, Bob. And I said earlier that we were really blessed to have Brian speak at our March for Life this year. And I think that's because I can see in Brian and hear in Brian a boldness and a willingness to speak the truth, to proclaim boldly that it's always wrong to take innocent life. And I don't recall in a very, very long time hearing any of the people that work at that legislature downtown at the Capitol where we'll be gathering. Mm. I don't hear those people using the bully pulpit that they have at their disposal.
Even the pro-life
Absolutely.
Politicians, you mean?
Well, and let's consider when a politician says he's pro-life, you know, a friend of ours, Steve Curtis, has made the observation that saying you're pro-life is utterly meaningless. Mm-hmm. And we need to ask politicians, are you against abortion? And if so, what are you doing to end this. Because he pointed out, you know, people will say they're pro-life because it's easy to do, and there's really no consequence to it. Not to mention that some people would say, well, I'm never going to have an abortion, so that means I'm pro-life. Mm. But of course, if a man's saying that, you know, you can see the obvious contradiction in the logic.
Right. Well, can we talk for a moment about Bill Ritter? Because he wants to be governor of Colorado. He's the former Denver DA. He was DA in Denver for many years while abortion was being fiercely battled on the streets, at the very least. And he says he's a pro-life Democrat. And what do we – I heard him being interviewed by Dan Kaplis on KHAL Radio just a few weeks ago, December 22nd. But what do we know about Bill Ritter generally? Leslie?
Well, a couple of things I've uncovered recently that I find disturbing, that if he is pro-life, he needs to repudiate. Number one, he was written up, I believe, by the Rocky Mountain News late summer as being a recipient of a doctor from Planned Parenthood giving him a sizable donation. And it's, as far as I know, he has not returned that and said that because he's pro-life, he doesn't feel like it's appropriate to take money from an organization that kills children for a living. Mm. And then I was doing some research.
Yeah, why would an abortionist at Planned Parenthood
give to a pro-lifer?
Right, to a pro-lifer. I mean, that's the absolute antithesis of what they would do.
Well, you know, there's something else. When I speak Saturday, I'm going to try to explain the connection between abortion and Columbine. Mm. And in fact, the murder of innocent children in many different ways, in perhaps in cases or stories that you've heard before. But regarding Columbine, let me tell you a little bit about Bill Ritter. Mm. In the days that followed Columbine, he and Dave Thomas, who was a district attorney in Jefferson County, went on TV to tell the world that the hardest thing they had ever done was to meet with each and every family and tell them their children had been murdered. Now, Dave Thomas introduced Bill Ritter saying that he helped him because there were so many families. He helped him with this awesome task of telling the families. Hmm. 9 of the 13 families found out their loved ones were murdered through the media. Bill Ritter is a liar, and so was Dave Thomas. Mm. When they tried to use the emotion of the moment and to use these innocent victims to prop themselves up and look like they were great. Well, then, as we started uncovering the wrongdoings of the government involvement in Columbine, Bill Ritter was asked by Governor Owens to be on a Columbine commission. And he, on that commission, worked tirelessly to make sure no new information came out. Mm-hmm. And in spite of that commission trying to cover it up, in court we were able to get a search warrant released and many other documents.
The sheriff of Jefferson County, the sheriff's department was denying there was a search warrant.
That's right.
Paperwork to get into Eric Harris's house.
Right, and to search it for the bombs that they knew he was building.
Right. And the death threats on his website, specifically,
right.
He's going to kill people.
Right.
The Browns went to Jefferson County Sheriff's Department. They made a heroic effort, really, to get the Sheriff's Department to do something about Eric Harris. And they then lied about the Browns coming to the department, lied about the complaint, lied that there was no search warrant paperwork. And all this then became public.
Right.
And it's now admitted that these documents did exist and Jeffco was misrepresenting.
And it's worse than that. What we learned from a grand jury was that there were secret meetings in the hours after Columbine where they agreed to deceive the families and deceive the public. Well, you know, when Bill Ritter found out about that was made public, people were asking, are you going to reconvene the Columbine Commission? They asked Judge Erickson, who was in charge of it. And then they asked people like Ritter. But, of course, none of them wanted to convene it. And in Bill Ritter's case, he didn't want to implicate his friend Dave Thomas.
Hmm.
And that's what kind of man he is.
And
so,
now, Dan Kaplis is somebody that, you know, the pro-life community in Colorado has a love and appreciation for Dan. He's hosted he's emceed the banquet for life for the last couple of years. And so I was listening intently when he was interviewing Bill Ritter just a few weeks ago on his own show on KHOW, and he stated, Dan Kaplis said, I have donated as much as I'm allowed by law to Bill Ritter for his campaign, and so has my wife. And he said, you know, Bill is a Democrat, and he's pro-life, and that's what we need, pro-lifers. And so in a favorable forum, then Dan is asking Bill Ritter his position on abortion. And the answers he was getting are not really different than a pro-abort politician. He asked him about his position on abortion. And Bill Ritter said, I have not made it my agenda to change the law. Okay, now how pro-life are you if you as a public official, a DA upholding the law and a governor he wants to be, right, has no agenda to change the law? How could that be pro-life?
Maybe that's why he's been endorsed by two strongly pro-choice women, whose names I don't have at my fingertips.
Yeah,
I apologize, but
and,
that's true.
And a Planned Parenthood doctor. Okay, and then – so Bill Ritter says, I'm personally pro-life. Now, for a public official, it's irrelevant, right? We don't care what you are personally. We care about your public policy and what you will do as a public official. So he says, I'm personally pro-life. That sounds like John Kerry.
Right.
Right, or most of the pro-aborts out there in politics. He says, my position on abortion is a matter of faith. Now, we know that there's no way that he would say, I'm going to try to legislate my religion. There's
right.
no way.
Right.
So his view on abortion insulates him from ever being called upon to do anything to protect an unborn child because it's personal and it's religious. And then Dan asked – well, Bill, okay, it's not your agenda to change the law. He had just said that. And so Dan Kaplis said, well, if the state legislature passed a law prohibiting abortion in Colorado, you would sign that legislation, right? Would you sign that? And Bill Ritter would not answer and say yes. In fact, he just made an excuse. He obfuscated. And finally, he said, well, the legislature would never do that. They wouldn't do that.
And, of course, he's probably right.
So, well, he could be. But the tragedy is he wouldn't even say, yeah, if it was handed to me on a silver platter, I wouldn't sign the law because that's my religion. Get off it. Come on. I'm personally pro-life, but I'm publicly pro-choice. That's his position.
That's right. I think that the record is really clear. He never looked into the cases brought to him where Planned Parenthood was performing abortions in incest cases. He never did any of the things that were presented to him in his official capacity as a prosecutor. He didn't do his job. Mm. Clearly, the guy is pro-choice. And it's ironic that if he really believed the legislature would never hand him that law, it's kind of ironic that he wouldn't say, well, I'm going to sign the laws they bring to me.
Right.
But that just shows how committed he is to killing little babies.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't he have knowledge from Joe Scott that underage girls were going into Planned Parenthood?
Yes.
And that they were covering up the fact that the adult males that were impregnating the girls?
Yeah, young girls get – they're used by men. They're impregnated. The men bring them in for abortions. And Planned Parenthood, we know from recorded calls to Planned Parenthood clinics around the country – Planned Parenthood employees systematically will tell the girls, don't say who he is, don't say his age, because in many cases it's against the law for an adult, sometimes somebody 5-10 years older than a young girl, to impregnate her. It's called rape. And Planned Parenthood helps the rapist get away with the crime systematically. And the DAs in our state and mostly around the country, they are also complicit because they couldn't care less.
They're not willing to do anything about it. Well, of course, Bob, you and I went to meet with the Attorney General, Jason Dunn's office, and no, I'm sorry, I'm misspeaking. Jason Dunn's the assistant.
The assistant DA.
To Attorney General Southers.
Yeah, and we asked in Colorado, downtown, we asked him, would the Attorney General look into this evidence, and we played recordings from Colorado abortion clinics where the workers are telling the girls, don't tell us the age. That's too old. He'll get in trouble. Don't tell us the age. Don't tell us your name. Hang up. Call back in. They're helping coach the girls to make sure that the rapist gets away with the crime.
That's right.
And then they're aborting the girls and covering up the evidence of the rape. And what Jason Dunn, representing Attorney General Southers, certainly they haven't done anything. Basically, you recall, Leslie, they told us
– it was our responsibility to go find more evidence.
To go investigate. We have to investigate the abortion industry and bring more evidence. And here's law enforcement. And Leslie said, is there something wrong with this picture that we as private citizens, the Attorney General's office, we show you evidence that girls are being raped and it's being covered up by the abortion industry systematically, and you tell us we got to investigate? What, do we go undercover as abortionists?
So I did send a follow-up just before Christmas to Jason Dunn, since he and I had had the most direct communications. WorldNet Daily had an article that appeared probably the week before Christmas saying that now it was an 11-year-old girl that was statutorily raped and taken in for an abortion. And so I thought, well, maybe that would get their attention. And of course, I've never heard anything back from him, but I will call and follow up and ask for a meeting again. And I believe this time Brian's going to go with us, and it'll be interesting to see. I mean, could it be a 6-year-old girl that they would finally get motivated to do something? I'm not quite sure what it's going to take.
Well, the 6-year-old girl in Vermont was raped over a 4-year period, and the judge threw the rapist in jail for 60 days.
Yeah, tragically, we have a legal system that is utterly broken, utterly corrupt. And then we have a political system where the rule of the day is compromise, make backdoor deals, do whatever you want. And sadly, you know, we're not going to stop abortion through, you know, trying to vote in supposedly pro-life judges and that type of thing. Our big failing, at least as I see it, is that we've been ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know, we don't have the money, we don't have the media connections, we don't have the endorsements. You know, there's many things we don't have, but we have the words of Christ. And for some reason, we have abdicated our responsibility on thou shalt not murder and so many other rules, and we've got into this political system trying to make little deals here and there as if we're going to make a difference. And the abortion numbers keep rising. And then the things that happen beyond that, the Columbines of the world, the mother drowning her kids in the bathtub that the National Organization for Women came running to her rescue to pay her legal bills. And we see that her case was overturned and is going to get retried. Mm-hmm. We see all these wicked things. And the victim are always the most innocent, the littlest, the children. And we look at what Christ said about the children and how he moved the powerful and the high and mighty away to bring the children near him. Mm. And we look at all the text in the Bible talking about the value of children. And one thing's very clear, that our greatest calling has got to be to protect the weak, the innocent, the handicapped, the sick. You know, a society that won't do that is utterly doomed to failure.
Mm-hmm. And when we, the ones who are fighting for right, when we compromise on do not murder, there is no way that we can survive that and remain a moral force for righteousness. And when I look at churches and the body of Christ around the country, as a talk show host, the emails, interviews, people writing us, I see that there is immorality that has utterly permeated the body of Christ, utterly. And we've heard for years that abortion is now common among Christians. And of course, divorce and fornication and homosexuality and pornography. And I think a major reason is because we have sold out to, we prioritize political considerations above thou shalt not murder. And when your Christian leaders do that, you have lost. We cannot win until we have Christian leaders who will not compromise on thou shalt not murder.
Well, that's exactly right. And this Saturday at the March for Life, I just wanted to tell people, I'm going to tell a little bit about Columbine and then a story that most everyone is not familiar with. And I want to let you know that this story is about hope. It's not about our failures, although I'm going to touch on some of the things that we need to focus on because we have to examine ourselves. But it's going to be about hope, about the things we can do, about the direction that we can go and the difference we can make. And that's why it's so important to have you and members from your church come out and listen. And, you know, I think that it'll be beneficial for everyone. I've been to the event many times, and, you know, I'm certain I'm not as good a speaker as the ones that have been in the past. But, you know, I do have something to share with you. And I also want you to know this has a march at the end of it, but there's also a rally in the beginning. So you don't have to march, although we'd love to have you come with us. But there's a gathering of people on the steps of the Capitol. And so we'd like you to join that. And then the other thing I'm going to encourage you to do, Colorado Right to Life, which has been fighting this battle since the beginning, deserves the support that you can give them. You know, it's a very small budget. And on this show, you've heard about the story of one girl rescued out of an abortion clinic when she changed her mind and they wouldn't let her leave. Colorado Right to Life was involved in that. And if they weren't there, sadly, I think there'd be one more child dead today. Mm-hmm. But also Bob's show. I have to encourage you to support this show, not only through the materials, the Focus on the Strategy DVD, which is almost imperative that you see, but so many other materials, the plot, which makes an understandable connection between the stories of the Bible, and it really frees you up to see what God's telling you. There's so many other materials, and even a donation without materials is a tremendous benefit here. You have to realize the reason you're listening to this show and the reason this show is different than what you're finding anywhere else is because it's speaking the truth and pointing out the common sense realities of what takes place in day-to-day life. But it's not popular. It makes people uncomfortable until they realize what's going on. And therefore, it's very difficult to keep the show on the air. It's a skeleton crew of volunteers in a homemade studio working on a tiny budget. And so, please, support this ministry.
Wow. Brian, thank you very much. I'm always humbled when you come by the studio. Leslie, you've been fighting to stop the killing of unborn children for so many years. You're one of my heroes in Colorado.
That's too kind.
When did you get into the battle? We only have 30 seconds.
About 1987.
1987. And so that's going on 20 years of fighting, and you really fight. You battle.
It's an honor.
And, well, it is to serve God and stand up for what's right. And who are we to even do this, that God would use us is humbling. So thank you both. And right, the March for Life is 1:30, right at the steps of the Capitol?
Saturday, January 21st.
All right. See you there, Leslie and Brian. I'll see you there.
Thanks, Bob.
You're welcome. And Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, simply the best Christian school I've ever seen. So check out Maranatha. And then Bob and Yart Live, our number, remember, 800-8-N-YART, 800-8-N-YART.